The apocalypse didn't happen exactly the way Manson hoped it would.
No. So he tried to help it along by killing as many people as he could or having his zombie family members do it. Manson would say, "Helter Skelter is coming down," or "Now is the time for Helter Skelter." When he made that proclamation, his family went out and butchered people. Some were strangled, hanged, disemboweled, or shot, or all three. They painted the words Helter Skelter on the walls in the victim's own blood.
Even if those killings brought about the war he wanted, how did Manson figure that he wouldn't be wiped out too?
A man wearing a sleeveless leather jacket sitting astride a chopped-down motorcycle started roaring in a dust-spurting circle around them, his toothless mouth grinning lasciviously at Christy. Her hair stirred and snapped tight to her nape, and her right hand eased down to caress the butt of the .38-caliber Smith & Wesson 640, holstered at her hip. The biker saw the movement, and he blew her a kiss before turning the motorcycle up the avenue and away from them. All of the companions saw the winged skull emblem sewn on the back of the jacket and the legend Hell's Angels printed above it. Mildred pointed to the biker.
Manson encouraged bike gangs to join the family and supply the military wing. Looks like Hellstrom is playing the same riff.
Bullshit. Those so-called angels we ran up against in Snakefish a few years ago were triple Stoops. Military wing my ass.
Stoops they might be, but it wouldn't surprise me a bit if some of these bikers weren't veterans of that fight. If they recognize us, we might have to fight our way out of Hellskell.
What happened to Manson? Chill?
Unfortunately, no. The murders weren't the catalyst for the great war he hoped for. Instead, Manson and a number of his people were arrested and sentenced to death. A change in the law commuted that sentence to life imprisonment. While he was in jail, his family of followers grew. Sick people who were attracted to his vision of a ruined wasteland of a world.
Mildred paused and waved at the buildings of Hellskell.
Looks like some people never forgot it and used his insanity as a blueprint. All because a depraved mass murderer had a talent for philosophy and hogwash 100 years ago. This is the world according to Chairman Charlie.
If the notion weren't so absurdly ugly, so ludicrously repellent, I would spend my visit here laughing or weeping.
Whatever Hellskell is or isn't, it has a lot going for it. Electricity, guns, gasoline. They're a damn sight better off than most villes and baronies we've seen.
I must concur. But I find the amount of working pre-dark technology in their possession rather unsettling, if not outright disturbing.
The question is, where did this group of triple Stoops find it all?
They continued their tour of Hellskell through the gathering dusk. Ryan spied Fleur leaning up against the support post of a building, talking to the biker they'd seen earlier. She watched Ryan all the while, fingering the long knife at her waist, staring at him with her single eye of cold azure. Something knotted in the pit of Ryan's stomach, like a length of slimy rope. He felt a tap on his shoulder. Turning, he looked into Phil's smiling face.
Enjoying yourself?
To a point.
Behind him, Ryan glimpsed Dog and Suds in the crowd. Evidently, Dog hadn't forgotten about the kicking incident, glaring at him over Phil's shoulder.
Good. The Patriarch wanted me to tell you about a family function tonight at midnight. You'll need to be in your rooms well before then.
Why?
Family and novitiates only. Everybody else off the street by 9.
As if no more could be said on the subject, Phil turned and drifted away into the crowd, Dog and Suds joining him.
I say we pack up and get ourselves gone.
Be full dark soon. Too dangerous to navigate the route at night. Let's grab a bite, turn in, and leave at first light.
The diner was a small establishment, but seemed fairly clean. The proprietor was an overweight woman with leathery warts adorning her face and the X scar inscribed in her forehead. There was only one meal on the menu, steak and vegetables. The steaks were rump and tougher than the old bowl they came from. The vegetables, string beans, tomatoes, and baked potatoes, were at least easy on the palate and the digestion. Afterwards, the woman brought over a pot of coffee and cups.
Take your time. Let yourself out when you're done. I gotta get ready.
For what?
Zadfrak's send-off.
When did he die?
Don't know if he has or hasn't. I just got told to get ready for the function. Attendance is mandatory.
She hustled into a back room.
In my experience, a funeral is not scheduled until the subject is deceased. By the three Kennedys! Coffee! Real coffee!
Not much difference between this and sub.
That's because your taste buds have been eroded by years of neglect. I can feel the caffeine caressing my nerve endings already.
Guns, fuel, electricity, and real coffee. I can't think of a more undeserving lot to have all these blessings.
When they left the little eatery, night had fallen, and the streets of Helsko were nearly deserted, except for a few merchants closing down their stalls. Dust blew in the streets, a cold night wind eddying it along in eye-stinging clouds. Carried by the wind was the sound of activity, northward of Hellscale's perimeter.
Building something there. Half mile.
Ryan peered into the darkness. Fleur's thinly veiled threat about curiosity-chilling cats came to mind.
Let's get to our rooms. Wouldn't hurt to lock the doors.
If Hellstrom meant us harm, he's going the long way around the barn. He certainly would have disarmed us.
Good idea to stay on orange alert no matter what.
Once in the room he shared with Christy above the now-emptied saloon, Ryan chair-locked the door. Though they unbuckled their gun belts, they kept their weapons close to hand. The feather mattress was comfortable, but Christy's body was tense. She held Ryan's hand as he stroked her hair.
This place is a black pit.
A pest holeville, all right.
No, there's something really terrible lurking here.
We'll be on the road at daybreak, lover. We'll never see Hellstrom or this place again.
It's not Hellstrom or even Hellskell, I fear. It's the resurrection of a pre-dark evil, an evil that may have helped pave the way for the new cost.
So they managed to get their hands on a few working pre-dark artifacts. Some people have managed to find stockpiles. It's not commonplace, but it's not all that rare either.
You don't understand. The people here, they're not really people. They're shadow duplicates.
Shadow what?
We've been taught that before the new cost, war, rape, and murder were aberrations in an otherwise smoothly functioning world.
So?
Maybe maniacs like Charlie Manson were the advance guard of the new order that survives, even thrives in the Deathlands. This is their world now, and maybe we're the abnormal ones.
You mean, we're the mutants now?
We're worse than the mutants. Because mutants at least fill some niche. Deathlands created them. But people like us, people who believe in a certain decency and wish to live in peace with one another, may be in the minority. Maybe Skydark was autumn for the human race. And you and me and Dean and Doc and the rest who share similar values and dreams have been displaced by the shadow people. They love the atmosphere of random violence and constant fear. The shadow people have adapted to it. They feed off it. They revel in it. They're the hollow duplicates of humans, and they wouldn't want the pre-dark world to return, even if it were within their power to rebuild it.
I hope you're wrong. I hope Hellskull isn't representative of what the world will come to be.
They reached for their weapons, listening for the sound again. Ryan rolled to his feet and went to the window. By poking his head and shoulders out and craning his neck, he saw spots of distant torchlight beyond the limits of Hellskell.
Something's happening.
He could see flickering pinpoints of light, and an urge to see what was going on grew within him. It wasn't simple curiosity or a tactical decision to wreck a possible danger that tugged at him. It was a compulsion. Christy sat up in bed, holding her Smith & Wesson in a two-handed grip, thumbing back the hammer.
It's me.
JB entered. In the hallway stood Jack, his ruby eyes shining in the gloom. Behind him were Doc and Mildred, looking keyed up and anxious. They all came into the room.
You hear that horn, Ryan?
Yeah.
What do you think it means?
Probably the function we were told about.
I think we should check it out.
I think someone wants us to check it out.
Christy had put down her gun and was massaging her temples with her fingers.
Why?
Does anyone else feel an almost overwhelming need to go out there?
Yeah.
Me too.
Sure.
I suspect we're on the receiving end of a psychic beacon. Very subtle, but very insistent. If I wasn't so sensitive to such influences, I'd just discount the call as impulsive curiosity.
Hellstrom. Bastard.
Standing up, Christy grabbed her gun belt.
What are you doing?
We've got a lot of questions about Hellskell. Time to get some answers.
I thought you were afraid.
I am. But I'm more afraid of what might happen if we don't respond to the invitation.
All right, let's move out. Everyone on red alert.